You have your Bibles, let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to be thinking again on the doctrine of sin. If you remember, the big word for the doctrine of sin is hamartiology. That word hamar means to miss the mark. And so we've been looking and kind of asking questions about the idea of sin. And we'll be continuing to look and ask a couple questions. There was an author about 100 years ago that told the story of a ship's crew, and they decided that their captain was crazy. He was mad because he took the directions and the guidance for where the ship could go from the stars. And so the sailors reasoned that the ship sails on the sea, and that the winds and the currents and the tides were the important points of identification instead of the stars. So they locked up the captain in the hold, and they sailed on, and they shipwrecked. You know why? Because they should have listened to the captain, who was directing their ship properly. It was supposed to be guided by the stars. And I introduce that illustration because when our points of reference are limited to self and the immediate world, we also will end up in disaster and we also will be shipwrecked. There are many folks today who have their own idea of sin. And so they'll tell you this. In fact, when you're knocking on doors, when you're talking to people, they'll say, that's fine for you. I guess that's a sin for you, but you know what? God hasn't convicted me of that. I don't really care if God's convicted you of it. If it's in the Bible and God says it's sin, it's sin. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter your opinion. God has an opinion, and it is truth. Thy word is truth. And so we must always follow the Bible's guidance and leading when it comes to all areas of our life, but especially in the area of doctrine, the doctrine of sin. I want to just do a couple of questions and then we'll get into our message this morning. So I wanted to throw out a couple more questions as we're kind of finishing this idea of hamartiology or hamartiology. It is the doctrine of sin. And we've looked at what are the effects of sin, different questions. What causes sin? And how did sin come into his existence? But I wanted to ask a question. So are all sins equal? Are all sins equal? Well, it's kind of a tricky question. Because in God's sight, Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is, guess what? Death. So, apart from the saving work of Christ, all sins, even one. Remember in James chapter 2, if you offend in one, you're guilty of all. So when it comes to salvation, when it comes to our life, all sins basically are equal. All, one sin puts you in hell. One sin. But there are different people that say, well, there's no levels to sin. You study the Old Testament, study the New Testament. There is different consequences in this life. Okay? If you go out and murder somebody, I would think, now I'm not talking about our judge system right now. All right? You actually probably could murder somebody and you could go to church. And murdering somebody, you can get out of jail, and going to church, you can go to jail, especially if you're a pastor in Canada now, all right? So it is a little messed up. But really, in the moral laws, there are things that are a little bit different as far as the consequences. I think we understand that. But what some people confuse is that there are different consequences, but one sin before God makes you condemned. One sin. So, in the area of salvation, all sins are equal. Here's another one, and if you, I'll read the passage in Romans chapter 6, okay, to help you out. So our second question, and then we'll come to our text this morning. So why does God allow sin? Here's the question. Could God stop all sin? Oh, that's tricky, isn't it? I actually think he could. I think he could stop all sin. All right? So why does God allow it? Romans chapter 6 gives us, Romans chapter 5. This is an amazing passage. Romans chapter 5, and you know, you can turn there or write it down and think about it and ponder on it over the next week or so. But Romans chapter 5 says this, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of, notice the word, grace, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Here's the phrase. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know why God, I believe, allows sin? Because you and I can experience the amazing grace of God. We all stand up here. I stand up here amazed at his grace. Why in the world are not all of us just annihilated and sent to a Christless hell? We should. But by his grace, he allows us the opportunity to come to him by free will. Choice, not forced. He could actually force us, I think, too. But he doesn't, because he wants you to choose Christ. This morning, that's his desire. If you do not know Christ, choose Christ today. If you're a saved individual, you still need God's amazing grace. Do you know that you cannot live the Christian life without his sustaining and sanctifying grace? That's a misunderstanding about the grace of God in Christianity across America. They only understand saving grace, and so they think, hey, I got saving grace, and that's great. I can sin and do whatever. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2 address that. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does God say? God forbid. Today, I need his sanctifying grace. You know what grace is? That is the power to do that which you cannot do. You know what you cannot do? Even after being saved, you cannot become holy. But by his sanctifying grace, you can today have victory. You can. You see, sin, and this is what amazes me. Even in my sinful condition, God blesses me. I was talking to my kids about that in the last few weeks. because God convicted me about something that was a couple years ago. Convicted me about it. So that means, and I was talking to my kids, I said, so think about this. God convicted me because, and I was supposed to do this thing, but it kind of came and took over. It became more important than what it should be. You've had that happen, I'm sure. And so then it became a higher priority than what God wanted. And so God convicted me of that. But during that time, I saw God's hand of blessing here. I went back and I looked at it and God blessed me here. And he blessed my finances here. And he blessed me in this area here. And I thought, wow, God's grace is amazing. I was in sin. He convicted me of it. And yet he poured his blessing upon me. He wasn't condoning my sin. No, he was not. But that is the wonder. That is that's the amazing, the awesomeness of our God. And then when you understand that, when you understand this God that we have, you know what it makes me want to do? God, I don't want any sin near me. I don't want to please the devil. I don't want to please the flesh. I don't want this world. Because he's so good, even when I'm bad. God is amazing. This morning, I want to look at this text in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verses 10 and 11. And I pray that it can be a help to us this morning. And we'll finish a couple of the points this evening. But it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Who is that? Oh, it's Satan. It's devil. It's the devil. And I am so glad that the book of Revelation is here because guess what? That old smut face, as they used to call him, the devil, that the serpent, the accuser of the brethren, he is toast. He's done someday. For the accusing of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God. Notice what he does. Day and night. Don't ever get the idea that the devil likes you. Day and night he is before the presence of God, casting doubts and accusing you and I before God. But notice, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I'm going to read one more passage, and then we'll pray. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says this, but we see Jesus. That's in verse 9. So the context is Christ. And it says this, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, that's Jesus, himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, amen, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to, guess what, bondage. I praise the Lord for Christ, the power of his blood, to release us from bondage. Heavenly Father, this morning, I pray that we would understand that Christ is still the answer today. You were the answer 2,000 years ago, and you're still the answer today. And Christ, through the power of his blood, can destroy the works of the devil, that is Satan, that is sin. Pray that this morning we would understand that if there is an unbeliever, somebody that does not know Christ as their Savior, that they would come and be washed in that precious blood, be redeemed, freed from bondage, and they would be saved on their way to heaven this morning. Then, Lord, if there's Christians here this morning that have been under the bondage of sin even after salvation, that they would understand that the power of the blood of Christ still offers freedom from sin. Help us, Lord, this morning, even as Christians, to not be brought under the power of sin. Lord, I need your sustaining grace to preach your message. I ask you to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Sin is overcome by a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 5, 1 then continues in the text, and it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with, guess what, the yoke of bondage. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. A couple of verses later, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So as you can see, Christ is the answer to our sin problem. The more that we understand Christ, his defeat of sin and Satan and the flesh, the more that we can experience the resurrection power available through us in Christ. And this morning I want to look at seven things, and we'll cover two of them tonight, but it's seven ways that there's a sevenfold victory over sin through Christ we find in Scripture. First of all, let's look at 1 John 1, 9. While you're turning there, 1 John 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1 and verse 9. While you're turning there, I'll read Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So this is what you have to understand. Sin defiles. That's what it does. It does that as an unbeliever. Sin defiles us. All right? It has made us wicked people. But even as a Christian, this is what you must understand. Sin still defiles you. There is no goodness. It makes you dirty. It makes you filthy. But what can we find through Christ? 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins. And notice what he says. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word of God says this about itself in Psalm 119. Remember, Psalm 119 is all about the Bible. The word testimony, judgment, precepts, even the word of God itself is mentioned over and over. And in Psalm 119, it says, wherewithal shall a young man do what? Cleanse his way. And it tells us, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. My first point as far as the sevenfold victory that comes through Christ over sin. Sin defiles, but Christ cleanses. You will never find cleansing on your own from your sin. You must once again come to Jesus Christ and understand that the shed blood of Christ can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And it may be this morning that you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then I challenge you, come under that redemption that is available through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You are defiled in your sin, but through Jesus Christ, you can be cleansed. It means to be white as snow. Secondly, notice in John chapter 10, John chapter 10 and verse 28, John chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says this, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. All right, and then if you go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, I'm going to read verse 1, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice what it says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So our first thing was that sin defiles. Secondly, sin brings captivity or bondage. It binds us. But what does Christ do? Christ brings freedom. All right, there's bondage under sin. And as a saved individual here this morning, this is my challenge to you, because I know the majority here sitting here this morning, you are saved. And you think that it's okay to mess with sin. Sin will bring you into captivity. It'll bind you. It'll bring you under bondage. And only Christ brings freedom. And Satan comes and whispers to you, and he whispers to all of us, and he says, hey, you know what? There is bondage. There are rules. There are restrictions under Christ. I say, no way. Amen. The most freedom I have ever felt is through Christ. And sin, always when I give in to the devil, when he whispers to me, and I give a little bit into sin, guess what happens to me? All of a sudden, I feel the shackles coming on. All of a sudden, I felt bound down. And then when I finally come to my senses like that prodigal, and there I am, and that pig pinger, there I am, off away. There I come to my senses, and I say, look at me here. And some of you have done the same thing. And you have found yourself in bondage. You have found yourself eating that which the swine eat. And you say, even the servants, even the servants at my Father's house have it better off than me. Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. And you know what he'll do? He'll bring that sin into your life and he'll bind you with it. But the shackles of sin are freed through the blood of Christ. So come again. Come again under that blood of Christ and realize that freedom. Number three, I think we know the passage in 2 Corinthians 5. So turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah chapter 18, and we'll read this text. This is the text about the potter. So I'll read you 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because most of us know that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what does sin do? Sin defiles. Sin brings captivity. But then notice in verses 1 through 4 of Jeremiah 18, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he, look at what he did. He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. You know what sin does? Sin destroys, but God regenerates. You know what that word regenerate means? It means to remake. You know what, you and I in our sin, we're defiled, we're in bondage, we're destroyed. But Christ wants to come and take you and make you a new creation. He just doesn't want to remodel you. You've probably done a remodel job. Yeah? It's okay. But you know what? The junk's still there. You're like, you know what? We don't have that much money, so we're going to have to remodel. and you still have those 70s curtains up, all right, you walk in, you're like, hey, you're like, yeah, I don't know, all right, I'm feeling my hair going to a fro here, all right, and I'm starting to get bell bottoms while I'm watching your curtains there, all right, and I'm starting to feel like a little disco going on. You're like, yeah, I don't know, something's up. All right, now, what is that? Oh, I remodel, but that's not what God wants to do. Notice what he says. He tears it all down, and he remakes it into what he wants it to be. Let him do it. Let him remake you. You don't think? I mean, what has man done well? Oh, they created a virus. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Oh, what have they done well? Oh, they've educated Americans. How's that going? They can't even figure out if they're a boy or girl today. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, they've made so much wealth. How's it going with all that wealth? But guess what? They still can't figure out. They still can't figure out with all their wisdom, with all their knowledge. They can put all the scientists and doctors all in one room and blow them up, which would be good. All right, but don't record that. But YouTube's banning that right now. But you take all of them and put them together, they still can't make a man. They can't. They still can't make a plant out of nothing. They can't. They can't make anything out of nothing. God spoke, and the worlds came into being. But what's amazing is he didn't want to speak us. He wanted to form man. He wanted to make him, kind of like that Jeremiah. And then he reached down and he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man still can't duplicate it. Thousands of years later, he can't duplicate it. And God, through salvation, guess what he wants to do? He wants to remake your soul. New life in Christ. Sin destroys, but Christ regenerates and remakes us. Number four, look at John 14. John chapter 14. Look at a couple of texts here. John 14 and then in John 16. So sin defiles, but Christ cleanses. Sin brings captivity, but Christ delivers. He redeems. Sin destroys, but Christ regenerates or remakes us. Sin fills, guess what, with lies and deceit. How do I know that? Because of Satan. What was Satan called in Revelation 12? The accuser of the brethren. What did Jesus call the devil? He is the father of all lies. So don't be shocked when Satan gets you to sin and it's not what you expected to be. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Sin deceives. It lies. But what does Christ do? John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, what? The truth and the life. Look at John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Bible says this also in Ephesians. I'll turn there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. Ephesians 4:21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. This is what I can tell you. Sin fills with lies and deceit, but Christ brings the truth. That's where the truth is. It is not in me. It is not in you. It is not in religion. It is in Christ. That is where truth is. And outside of Christ, you will not find truth. You find man's shenanigans. You find Satan's deceits. You see the world's lies and falsehoods. Even in religion today, it's all a bunch of mysticism. And once you dive into it and you weave through the religions of this world, you know what you find? Hypocrisy. You find lies and deceit. You find people that basically have made up something so that they can gain something out of it. Oh, but in Christ, what does Christ gain? What does Christ gain by bringing you salvation? He already owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What does Christ gain by bringing you redemption? He already is God. He already is omnipotent. He already is omniscient. That's why God, it is all by his grace and his mercy that he reaches down and he saves us. You see, that is Christ. Sin fills with lies and deceit, but Christ brings the truth. One last one here this morning. Let's turn to, you're there in John 14. So go back to John chapter 1 and we'll look at a couple passages again in John. John, the apostle John, liked this term. If you read the book of John, the gospel of John, you'll see this term come out. John chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." Look at a couple verses down in verse 9. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Verse 8 even, one before that. "He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Then go to John 3 and verse 19. Look at what Jesus says. I'll start in verse 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Notice verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And I think I found the wrong. Oh, I was in John 8. All right. This is one of the I am statements of Christ. Notice what he says. "As long as I am in the world," what is he? "I am the light of the world." You know what sin does? Sin defiles. Sin brings captivity. Sin fills with lies and deceit. And sin leaves one blind and in darkness. What are we saying? The world was in darkness, but what? The light of the world is Jesus. I challenge you this morning. I challenge you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is what I can tell you. You're walking in darkness. And you know it. You don't know it all the time. But there's a conviction, even this morning, and that's what we pray for. When you come into a church and they've prayed properly, the Spirit is there, the Holy Spirit. It's a person of the Godhead, and there's a heaviness that comes on you. That's not something to be scared of. That's the Spirit working, saying, "Hey, you're in darkness. You're defiled. You're unclean." But the light of the world is Jesus. So as an unbeliever this morning, come to that light. He's waiting for you. Come to that light. Jesus is there. He's the light of the world. But this is what I ask you as a believer here this morning.
You could be a young person sitting. You can be an older person. And guess what? This applies to all of us when we think about this doctrine of sin. How do I overcome sin? How do I? The answer for salvation was Christ. And the answer for the believer is still Christ. Because sin in the believer's life will defile you. Sin in the believer's life will bring you into captivity and bondage. Sin in the believer's life, it'll make it dark. It'll deceive you. It'll lie to you. So why don't you come to Christ? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, the Bible says. Cleanse your hands, even believers. Confess your sin. Come to God and say, God, I want this out of my life. I want to be cleansed of it. Because you know what? Sin, God has even allowed it today, at this time, in this world, for you as a believer to even understand the amazing grace of God. Through that sanctifying grace, you do not have to be bound by sin. The book of Romans says you can be freed from sin. Now, it doesn't mean that I can live in sinless perfection. No. But what it can mean, what it does mean, is that as a believer, I have a choice. My choice is choose Christ and kick the devil in the teeth. Put him down. Put him out of your life. Say no to him. Oh man, as an unbeliever, you did not have a choice. The Bible says Satan was your daddy. You obeyed him. But now I am adopted into a new family. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And now through the shed blood of Jesus, I can say to Satan, get out of here. We can have victory. 1868, there was a Frenchman that imported a few gypsy moths into the New England area. He brought them into Melrose, Massachusetts, 1868. He was going to breed a few of these gypsy moths to help with silkworms. One night, a few of them escaped from his cage in Melrose, Massachusetts. He was terrified, and so he went around to the neighbors. This is 1868. He went around to the neighbors, and he says, hey, some of these gypsy moths, they escaped out of the cage, and they just laughed at him, and they said, oh, it's no big deal. But 20 years later, every bit of green foliage for miles around Melrose, Massachusetts, was devoured. And a couple of decades, even just a couple decades ago, in New England, you can look it up. Just a couple of decades ago, New England spent over $75 million to eradicate, guess what? The plague of gypsy moths. I tell you this morning, as a believer, don't let the gypsy moth of sin stay in your heart. It will eventually spread and take over like a wildfire unless you understand the importance of getting sin out of your life. Believers, hate sin. Remember the psalmist? He said in Psalm 119 that he loved the word of God. Remember that? And that because he esteemed the word of God so precious, he hated every false way. As you draw close to Christ, and as you draw close to this book, you'll have a holy hatred for sin. Because you'll understand the goodness and the grace of God that shines upon man. You'll understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his shed blood and what it cost for sin to be paid for. And you won't want it near you. This morning, as a believer, maybe you need to get a new righteous appreciation for what God thinks of sin. And as an unbeliever this morning, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you come and ask Christ to redeem you and save you this morning?